Thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Now, without wasting any more time, I want us to just dive straight into our word this morning. So if you have your Bibles, would you please open your Bibles and turn them with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We'll be reading from verse 1 to verse 11 this morning. I've got a familiar Christmas story that I would love for us to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 2. Is everyone there? If you're there, then let me hear you say, mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. So I guess we're all there. All right, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. And this is what the word of God says. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Everybody say, "We have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. So he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Everybody say joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened, just a moment. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Father God, please speak to us this morning, Lord, and give us a fresh revelation through your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the title of our message this morning is Don't Get It Twisted. So look at the person next to you and tell them, don't get it twisted. Yeah, don't get it twisted, church. So we have 10 more days to Christmas. Anybody excited for Christmas? Woo! Yeah. Anybody a fan of the Christmas season? Yeah, you know, it's one of the most wonderful and awesome times of the year, you know. And even though here in Dar es Salaam, we do not have a white Christmas, you know, but I personally have refused to let the heat and the humidity rob me of my Christmas joy, you know. And this is that time of the year where I'm like, you know what, you know, get thee behind me, humidity, you know. You will not kill, steal, or destroy my Christmas joy, all right? You know, because I am going to have fun and I'm going to celebrate Christmas. Can I get an amen? Yeah, man. And so just out of curiosity, you know, for those of you who say that you love this festive season, what are some of the favorite things that you guys love or look forward to in this Christmas season? Is it perhaps the decorations? You know, the decorations that we see, you know, either in our houses or the decorations that we see, you know, from other people's houses, you know, the trees and whatnot. Anybody, you know, you love the decorations during Christmas season? Yeah? All right. I see a few hands up there. Or maybe you would say that, you know what I love about Christmas is the gifts. Receiving gifts, mostly, and also giving some gifts. You know, any people who love receiving gifts during Christmas? Yeah, thank you guys for being honest. Thank you very much. Or maybe some of you would say that, you know what? I love the food in Christmas. The food. Ah, so I see you foodies. Yeah, come on. Yeah, man. You know, food during Christmas time is the best because everybody just cooks up a storm. You know, people just eat and eat and eat. And then come January, we then decide that we're going to go to the gym and go on keto to lose weight. You know, because, yeah, that's what we do every year, man, you know. But, yeah, that's Christmas for you, hey? But as much as all these things are really cool and all these things are really great, But the question that we need to ask ourselves in this season is really, what is Christmas exactly about? What is Christmas about? Is it about Santa Claus and reindeer? Is it about the decorated trees? Is it about the gifts? Is it about the food? Is it about the trips to visit our family members and our friends? What is Christmas really about? Now, I'm sure some of you will be like, well, duh, Effie, it's so obvious, you know, that Christmas is about Christ. But is it really obvious, though? Because if it was obvious, then perhaps even the way that we spend Christmas, the way that we go about our lives during Christmas season would be different. Because truth is, it's playing out in the open that, yes, Christmas is about Christ. It's even in the word itself, Christmas, Christ, Mass. You know, the word Mass, in the suffix Max in the word Christmas, is actually a Latin derivative of the English word Mass, which is like a gathering to worship. And so Christmas is about worshiping Jesus, about worshiping Christ. But how many of us do we really take the time to worship Jesus during this Christmas season? Do we really make Christmas about Christ, or have we gotten it twisted and we've started making it about other things instead? Because it is one thing to know that Christmas is about Christ, but it's something completely different to actually make it about Christ. Now, unlike many of us, the wise men that we just read about in this story, in Matthew chapter 2, had one mission and one mission only, and that was to find the newborn king and worship him. That was their mission. They made the search for the Lord their quest, and so there is so much that I believe you and I can actually learn from the wise men this morning. But before we go any further, I would like to take this moment to actually just play Mythbuster this morning. I want to really just, you know, talk to you guys and expose three common misconceptions about the wise men that many of us have. That perhaps, you know, we've heard from the Christmas carol, We Three Kings of Orient. You know that song? Yeah, and so I just want to demystify these three wise men. First off, let me start with identity. There is nowhere in scripture where we're told that these men were kings. We're told that they were wise men. And their names are not even mentioned anywhere. In scripture, there is no Caspar, there is no Balthazar, and there is no Melchior. There is just the wise men. That's all there is. You know, and these men were also known as the Magi, meaning historians say that these were probably members of a learned religious class from the region of Iran. And they specialized in astrology, medicine, and natural science. That's who these wise men were. So that's myth number one that I'm just choosing to burst it right now, that you know what, there is no Caspar, Balthazar, or Melchior. I'm sorry. But myth number two is their number. So many of us, you know, we always believe that, yeah, you know, they are the three wise men. But the term that is used in the Bible, it just says the wise men. It doesn't give us a number. The term is plural, indicating that there was more than one, but no specific number was given. And so many of us tend to assume that they were three because of the gifts that they brought Jesus, which is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But nowhere in the Bible is it written that they were three. So that's myth number two down the drain. And lastly, their timing. In most nativity scenes that we see, we always see baby Jesus with Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, you know, and the wise men there with their gifts, you know, with the cow and the sheep and the donkeys and whatnot in the manger. But that's not the case in the Bible. This is almost certain didn't happen. Because when we read the Bible, you actually find out that by the time that the wise men got to the young child, in fact, the Bible says that, you know, by the time that they went to Mary's house, he was a child. And, you know, when you read further, you know, when you read history and background, you realize that, you know what, perhaps by the time that they got there, it was between 4 months and 2 years from the birth of Christ. So they were not there in the manger. They actually went to the house of Mary and Joseph to see this young child. So I'm sorry, church. I'm sorry, guys, that, you know, you've been lied to all this time and you believed a story that did not exist, but this is the actual reality. And so now that I'm done bursting your bubble, then maybe let's get to the heart of the message, right? Yeah. All right. I hope you all don't hate me by now. You know, please don't. So what does the Bible say? So we read in Matthew chapter 2 that after the birth of Jesus, these wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem. And so they had heard that there was a king who was born, and they traveled all this way to go to see him and to worship him. The wise men traveled a long distance to look for the newborn king and to worship him. They traveled all the way from the eastern land to go to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem to just meet the king. So this journey was possibly a journey of months and months to actually arrive to see Jesus, and it possibly cost them so much just to see the Lord. You see, these wise men, they saw the birth of Christ as a time of great joy, so much so that they were willing to go out of their way to go see him and to worship him. Imagine they were following the star that was to direct them to where this newborn king is. So they had no idea where the star was going to lead them. They didn't know where it was going to end up, you know, but they went and followed the star either way. They didn't know how long it would take because there's no way that they could tell, but they just kept following the star. They were willing to go to the ends of the earth just to find this newborn king. Why? Why is it? Why was it so important for them to do this? Why did they really want so much to meet this newborn child? Perhaps maybe the answer is because they knew that he was the king of the Jews and he was the savior of the world. And so they knew that he was worthy of their pursuit and worthy of their worship. And so as I was reading this story, I was really challenged, you know, that these wise men, they traveled for months and months, you know, took this long journey, which probably cost them so much, just to go and see this young child. Because they probably knew that he was the king of the Jews, that he was the savior of the world, that he meant something. And so the pursuit was more than worth it for them. And so this example that is set by the wise man should challenge each and every one of us. It should challenge our personal devotion to the king, not just during this Christmas season, but throughout the entire year. Because their desire to find and to worship the king should cause each of us to consider our own personal devotion and our own personal worship of the king. If they were willing to go all this way, if they were willing to go this far to search for the king, how far are we willing to go in this season? How far are we willing to go to search and to find the king? Because you see, if we're not careful, in the busyness of the Christmas season, we may find ourselves focused on all the wrong things. We may find ourselves focused on all the wrong ideas. And this is why this morning, I would love for you and I to really take some lessons from these wise men that would perhaps help you and I to really navigate through this festive season in a meaningful manner, that we would not waste the season, but rather make the most of it. And so if you're taking down notes or if you're taking down some points, these are some of the points that I want you to write down. The lessons that we are to learn from the wise men this morning that would help us to actually get through this festive season in the most meaningful of way. Lesson number one, if you're taking notes, is this. We need to seek him. We need to seek him. The wise men were willing to seek the Lord at all costs, and we need to do the same. But what does that even mean? Well, it means that we intentionally make our lives revolve around the pursuit of knowing Christ. That we consciously fix our thoughts and our mind's attention on the Lord. And that we affix our affection on the Lord in this season. That's what it means. We need to seek him. We need to make this about him. And so what does that look like practically for you? What does it look like practically for me? Well, for starters, it starts by picking up your Bible, dusting it off the shelf, opening it up, reading it, and allowing it to read you. That's what it looks like. It looks like you taking your Bible and begin to reading it and allow the words that are in this book, in this holy book, to pierce your heart and to speak into your life. That's what it looks like first. Because you know what? There is nowhere else that you will find Christ than in his word. That is where you find Jesus. Because as the Bible says, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. If you want to know Jesus, you want to know him intimately, you want to know more of him, it starts there. Read your Bible. Open up your Bible. I believe that there's some of us in here, and you know, I'm not judging anybody, but all I'm saying is, there's some of us in here probably since December started, we've been so busy we haven't even had the time to open our Bibles. We don't even know what our Bibles look like in this month of December. You know, but then yet again, we want to look, we want to seek him, but then how can you seek the Lord if you don't go into his word? That's where it all begins. It starts with you reading your Bible, because that's where all the truth about Christ is revealed. And he reveals himself through his word. And so if you want to know him, you want to know him intimately, you want to know him deeply, you want him to reveal some truths about himself to you, then you know what? Dive into the word of God this season. Pick up your Bible and begin reading the word. Make it a daily habit. Read the word. That is you seeking the Lord. You know, reading the Bible is just not some ritual that we do. No, but actually that's a way for us to get to know him. Just kind of like how when you want to know your spouse intimately, you would spend time with them. You would sit and talk to them and get to know their minds and get to know their heart. And so that's what the word of God does for us. It helps us to know Christ. You know, these wise men were willing to travel so far to seek him because they knew something beautiful about him. And so if you know that Christ is worthy, that there is something beautiful about him, and you know that you don't know enough of him, and let me tell you, nobody knows enough of Christ. And so then you will go to your word. You will go to the Bible and you'll find him there. So seek him by reading the word of God this season. Dive into the word of God. But the second thing that you need to do in order to seek him more is to call his name and meet up with him in prayer. You want to know Christ? You want to see him? You want him to reveal himself to you? You want him to speak to you? Spend time in prayer. If you want to see the Lord, spend time in prayer. If you want to experience him, spend time in prayer. You want him to meet your needs, spend time in prayer. That's where you get to meet him. That's where you get to seek him. And some of us, I know that prayer seems like such a daunting task. It weighs us down. We feel like, well, you know what? I really don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like praying. I'm so tired to do it. Well, you know what? If you want to get to experience Christ, then this is the best way you can experience him, through prayer. He will meet you there. You know, because Christ is ready and willing to reveal himself to you. But how desperately are you seeking him? How much more do you desire him? So much so that you're willing to meet with him in prayer so that he can give you a fresh word. You know, there's some of us in here who are still living on the word that we heard last year. You know, our mission right now, we're moving on a word that we heard like 6 months ago. But perhaps Christ wants to reveal a new word to you. And so how are you going to hear it if you don't spend time with him in prayer? Because when you're in prayer, you're then... your ears are open so you can hear him. He will whisper, he will speak to you, and then you'll get to know more of him, and he will give you that fresh word. He will nourish you, he will refresh you, whatever you need. Prayer is so beautiful, church, let me tell you. It's not some daunting task. It's so beautiful when you actually understand the essence of prayer. That is you going to meet your Father and to really get to hear from him and get to know him more. And you can even go before him and you can share your greatest needs. You can go and pour out your heart to God in prayer. You don't need somebody else to really, like, you know, tell you what to do or to pray for you. No, listen, you can go and pray. You can go and pour your heart out to him. Instead of pouring your heart out to your girlfriend or to your BFF, go and pour out your heart to God. You want him to give you a solution for your problems. You know what? Seek him. Go and spend time in prayer. Because there's some of us in here that I know for sure that some of us in here, we're in a dry and a desolate place and we feel empty inside. There's some of us in here who we feel separate from God. We feel lonely inside. We are depressed and we need hope in our lives. But the problem is that we try to meet those spiritual needs with physical things, which only provide temporary solution. And so before you know it, a few days later, you're back to the same place of emptiness, of loneliness, depression, and hopelessness. Because you can never treat spiritual needs with physical things. You know, some of us, we become spenders, like no man's business in this season. We go and buy things and buy things, thinking that, you know what, it's probably going to curb my loneliness. But you know what, it's not. You know, some of us, we eat galore, we overeat, and you're like, yeah, you know what, I need to comfort myself by eating. But it's not going to solve your problem. You know, some of us, we binge watch and stuff, you know, we watch movies and series, which is not a bad thing, but all I'm saying is that all those things are just distraction and they'll curb your need, they'll meet your need in that moment, but then after that, you're still going to be lonely. And so the best way that your needs can be met is by seeking Christ and by going to him and spending time in prayer. What you need to do is to seek the Lord because he's the only one who can meet your needs. He's the only one who can fill your emptiness in your heart right now. So if you need connection, go to Christ. If you need to be made whole, go to Christ. If you need hope, go to Christ, because hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. Amen. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. So go to Jesus. He will give you hope. Again, the wise men, man, you know, we could learn so much from these guys. They were willing to go out of their way to seek the Lord. They were willing to go out of their comfort zone as to risk everything so as to go and seek the Lord. And so here's my challenge for you in this season. That, church, may you seek for opportunities to inconvenience yourself for the sake of pursuing Christ. Look for those opportunities. And so if you're not spending any time in prayer, do so today. If you're not spending any time reading the word of God, start today. Because that is what is going to meet your needs. Seek the Lord in this season, because this season is all about him. It's all about getting to know him. It's all about him. It's all about Christ. It's centered around him. So seek him more. But the second lesson that we can learn this morning from the wise men is that in this season, we need to worship him. This morning, we sang some really powerful songs. Some really, really powerful songs. You know, and singing these songs, it's part of worship, but it's not worship in its entirety. But you and I need to worship the Lord in this season. Matthew tells us in verse 11 that when the wise men saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and they worshiped him. Bowing down was a sign of humility and a sign of surrender. Bowing is used to show homage and used to show submission or honor to God or kings. You don't just bow down to anybody. You bow down to authority. You bow down to God. You bow down to a king. So they humbled themselves and they worshiped him when they saw the child. You see, worship is an expression of adoration and reverence, and it is reserved only for God. Worship is the complete declaration of the absolute worthiness of God as a creator and a redeemer. There is no any other creator. There is no any other redeemer. It's only Jesus Christ. And so he is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our adoration. He's worthy of our adoration. This morning we sang the song, "You Are Worthy of It All." And it is true. It's not just a song. It is true. He is worthy of it all because there is no any other creator. There is no other God like him. There is no any other king like him. There is no any other ruler like him. And so if I'm to bow down to anyone, I'm going to bow down to Jesus. If I'm going to bow down to anyone, I'm going to bow down to him because he is worthy of it all. And you know what? We demonstrate worship in several different ways. Firstly, it could be through faithful, humble, and reverent service to God. That's where it starts. Or we can demonstrate worship by surrendering our wills and taking up God's will, which results in deepening our personal relationship with God. And we also worship Christ by focusing and centering ourselves and everything we do on him. That's worship. When you choose to take everything away and focus and center your life on him by showing him that, you know what, you are worthy, I'm surrendering myself to you, I'm humbling myself before you, that is worship. And church, that is what we need to be doing in this season. We need to be worshiping the king this season because it's all about him. But then again, I know that this is so hard for most of us to do. It's really tough because there is so much that is going on in this season. There are so many things that are happening in this season. We're just too busy. You know, we're running here to do this, we're running there to do that, you know, we're chasing this, we're chasing that. It's such a busy time of the year. Just think about it. In this 1 month, we try to cram everything in it. It's in this 1 month when most of us decide to visit our families and our friends. Probably we didn't even talk to them or see them throughout the entire year, but then now we're like, you know what, yeah, it's Christmas season, so this is when I decide to visit my family and friends and spend time with them. But yet again, this is the same 1 month where we decide to finally entirely decorate our entire house. This is also the 1 month we decide to go all food channel on ourselves. This is the 1 month where we are hustling and rushing to find the perfect gifts to give the people that we love and we care for. You know, so there is so much that is going on in this 1 month, and so our minds are divided in all different ways because we're trying to do everything in this 1 month. And then for that reason, we end up forgetting who this month is actually about. We don't get the time to focus on Jesus and worship him like we should. The problem that many of us have, church, you know, and I'm also guilty of it, and I needed this reminder myself, is the fact that in this time of the year, we tend to worship the season as opposed to worshiping the reason. We worship the season as opposed to worshiping the reason, and Jesus is the reason. And so I'm here to remind you today that, you know what, this Christmas season, it's all about Christ. It is not about the gifts. It's not about the decorations. It's not about the traditions. It's not about the food. It's not about the vacations. No, it's about Jesus Christ. This is who it is about. And now please understand me. You know, I'm not trying to be the Grinch who stole Christmas. You know, I'm not saying that all these other things are bad, but all I'm saying is that they cannot be the focus of our worship in this season. We can't be so driven with all these other things. We cannot be so driven by this event as opposed to being driven by Jesus Christ. And therefore, church, in this season, I'm going to ask you to do something that is so difficult. And I'm going to ask you to worship Christ and not Christmas. Amen. Worship Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world, not Christmas. Christmas is the event, but Christ is the person. Christmas, there is no Christmas without Christ. We would not be celebrating this day without him. And so, church, take this time to worship him. Do not be dazzled by all this other stuff. You know, they're fine, yes. You know, they help to bring the excitement in the festive season. But then when we make this the center of our focus, then we're missing the plot. Because worshiping Jesus in the season is the most important and vital thing that you and I can do. And lastly, the last lesson that you and I can learn from the wise men that I think we could actually employ in our time this season is to gift him. Give God the gift. Give Jesus a gift. The wise men came bearing gifts. You know, Matthew tells us that they opened their treasure chest and they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These gifts were the best of the best. Gold was actually a gift fit for a king. Frankincense was a gift for a priest. And myrrh was the gift for the one who was to die. And so these gifts actually foretold that this child was to be the true king, the perfect high priest, and in the end, the supreme savior of men. So these gifts actually had a purpose, and so they came with their best gifts. Now, for most of us, sometimes we ask ourselves this question, like, okay, fine, I want to gift him, but then what can I really give the creator of the universe? What can I really give the God who made everything? You know, what gift is actually good enough for the king? And many of us have that problem. You know, it's a problem that I like to call the little drummer boy syndrome. If you know that Christmas carol, The Little Drummer Boy, there's a line in that song which says that I'm a poor boy too. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give my king. And that's us sometimes. We feel like, you know what? I don't have anything to bring. I don't have any gift that I can give my king in this season, but let me tell you, that is not true. You do have something that you can give him. Something so valuable, something so important, a gift that God would really appreciate and treasure. Just like how the wise men gave him the best of the best, there is a gift that you can give him that is the best of the best. And the gift that you can give the Lord in this season is the gift of your life. That's the gift that you can give him. That's the best gift you can ever give him. Give him the gift of your life. Give him yourself this season. Give him you. He wants you. He loves you. Because many of us, we value our lives above everything. And so if that is the most valuable thing to you, then why don't you give that to the Lord? Because then that will be the best gift you could ever give the Lord. Jesus came on earth as this little baby so as to reconcile you and God, so that you can get to be in a relationship with God. And so when you give him your life, when you give him your love, when you give him your devotion, when you give him your time, that is the greatest gift of all. The wise men did not hold back. They gave him everything. And so we need to do the same in this season. We need to give Jesus our best. We need to give him our all. We owe to give Jesus the best of our time. We owe to give Jesus the best of ourselves. We owe to give Jesus the best of our resources, the best of our abilities, and most importantly, give him our entire life. Give Jesus your life. Give him your life in this season because he died for you. He came for you. Your life is the ultimate gift that you could ever give God this Christmas, let me tell you. It's not even your money. It's not even anything. It's your life. That's the greatest gift you could ever give him. To show him that you love him, that you adore him, that you know what, he is worthy of it all. Give him your life. Now, I know that there's some of you in here, in all honesty, you need to give him your life today. You need to give him your life for the first time because you've never had the opportunity to do it before. And Jesus is saying that, you know what, I want your life because I love you. Because I want to be in a relationship with you. Because I want to fulfill you, so give me your life. Give Jesus your all this season, as he gave his all for you. This child that we're celebrating in this season, this child is our savior. Without him, I wouldn't be standing here. Without him, you wouldn't be in this room. He's our savior. We were supposed to be dead in our transgressions. But yet he chose to die, to come on this earth and to die so that you and I can have life. And life in abundance. That's what Jesus did. And this is the person we're celebrating in this season. That God chose to give his best for you and I. And so I think we owe him the same thing, to give him our best, which is our life. As the Bible says in John 3:16, that for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him, they shall not perish, but they shall have eternal life. That's how much God loves the world. That's how much God loves you. For God loved you that he gave his one and only son, so that if you choose to believe in him, you shall not perish, but you shall have eternal life. And so give him your life. Give him your life today, because that is the best gift that you can give him. And so in closing, church, I would like to leave with you with this one simple thought. What are you willing to do in the season to make Christ the center of your Christmas season? What are you willing to do different this time of the year? What are you willing to do different to make him the center of the Christmas season? Because truth is, Christmas continues to be the most wonderful time of the year. But if we're not careful, the Christmas season can be filled with decorations, with cookies, with trees, with food, and all this other stuff. And these are all good things, but then they are not the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. And so if our focus is on those things, then we'll run the risk of forgetting the meaning of Christmas and shifting our focus away from the King, the one true King. That's what this season is about. So church, don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Christmas is about him and him alone. It's about Christ. That's all there is to it. It's about him. And so as I think about the wise men, I see that they were so dedicated and they were so committed that nothing got in their way to divert their attention away from their mission, and that was to seek the King. The distance to travel, the unknown location, and even King Herod could not stand in the way of their mission to go and worship the King. These were not obstacles to them. They chose not to be sidetracked. They chose not to be discouraged, but rather they continued on their journey and on this mission to go and worship the King. And even when they saw the star, when they arrived to the house of Jesus, the Bible says that they were joyful. They were filled and overcome with joy when they found the King. And when they saw him, they fell down and then they worshiped him and they gave him their treasures. And that should be us this season. That should be us this season. And my prayer and desire for you in this season is, may you always consider the worth of the one whom we worship. That is our King Jesus. May you focus your attention on the sacrifice of this King in order to make a way for sinful men like you and I to have a relationship with a holy God. May we seek him. May we worship him. And may we gift him with our best, which is our life. May we, in this season, live a life of obedience to the King. May we worship the King. May we worship Jesus, the one true King. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great reminder this morning. That Lord, this Christmas season is about you. That God, it's not about the things, it's not about the gifts, it's not about the decorations, but God, it's about you. And Father, we are sorry for turning this season to be about anything else but you. Father, may you forgive us, God, for making this season about other things but not you. Sorry, God, Father, that we got it twisted. That we forgot that Christmas is about our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, Father, in this season, Lord, we need to put you first. We need to center our lives around you. And so, God, may you help us to do that in this season. May you help us, God, center ourselves around you in this season so that we can give you our all, that we can seek you in this season. And this morning, God, I know that there's some people in here who are in a dry and a desolate place where perhaps you feel overwhelmed, perhaps you feel drained, perhaps you feel lonely, perhaps you feel empty inside and you are here this morning. I would love to pray for you this morning. And so if that is you, could you please just raise your hand? Because I would love to pray for you this morning. If that is you, you know that you feel empty. You know that you feel lonely. You know that you feel depressed. You know that you feel hopeless in this season. If that is you, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Father God, you see the hands that are raised in this house this morning. Father, you see these needs, God. You see, God, how empty they are inside, Father God. You see them, Lord. I pray this morning that God, may you fill them, Lord. May you make them whole, King of Kings. May they get to experience you, O God. Father, may you fill them with your goodness, O Lord. Fill them with your fullness, King of Kings, so that God, they may not be empty inside, Lord. Holy Spirit, may you revive them. Holy Spirit, may you refresh them. Holy Spirit, may you rejuvenate them and give them life again. So that, Father, they may go through this season, God, and even the next year, Lord, being full of you, O God. That, Father, they will not be hopeless, but, Father, they'll be hopeful because you are in their lives and that you are working in their lives. Father, may they seek you this season, Lord. Father, may they pursue you even more in this season, because God, it's in you that they can find restoration. It's in you that they can find refreshment and rejuvenation. I thank you, Holy Spirit, because I know that you're doing it right now. And I know that you're going to continue to do it even for the rest of this month, Lord, that you're going to continue, Father, to fill them so that God, that void can be filled only by you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. But I also want to take this time to pray for another group of people. There are people in here that are here for the very first time that they've never given their lives to Christ. There are people who have never had the opportunity to give their lives to Christ. And God is saying today that, you know what? I want you to surrender your life to me. That in this season, I want you to make your life about me. Give me your all. Give me your life. Give me your all because I love you. I don't want to hurt you or harm you. I want to love you. Give me your life because I came here on earth to die for you. I came as this little baby so that I can come and redeem you. And you've been so far away from me, but then I want you. And so if you are here today and you're saying that, you know what, I know I've never given my life to Christ before, but I'd love to give him my best this season. I'd like to gift him with my life this season. If that is you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, can you please just raise your hand? If that is you, that you want to give Jesus Christ your life this morning, that you want to give him your life this morning, that you know what, you've never had the chance and the opportunity to do it. If that is you, just raise your hand. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's actually something that is so powerful and so great. If that is you, would you please just raise your hand? If there's anybody in here, I'm just going to give you one more minute. Just gather the strength and the courage to just surrender yourself to him this morning. And so if that is you, please just raise your hand. Let us pray together. King Jesus, we surrender our lives to you. We give you our all today. Father, we ask you to come into our hearts and be the Lord of our life. Father, we surrender it all because you are our Savior. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for giving your life for me. And so, Father, I ask you to lead me in my life, to be the Lord of my life, so that I can follow you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Good morning, church.